landlords, lettings and deposits. Expert advice from Hamilton Fraser.
Welcome to the Landlord Letting and Deposit Podcast. This week we're pleased to say we have Tony Gimple from Less Tax for Landlords to join us, along with Eddie Hooker, the CEO of the Hamilton Fraser Group and My Deposits. This week's going to be really interesting because we're going to be talking about all things to do with tax and how it affects landlords going forward. On this latest podcast, we're just going to first discuss the industry news and what's been going out there. Eddie, God, things are happening out there, aren't they? What's the latest things happening in the property?
Yeah, the news again dominated by the tenant fee ban, by landlords and letting agents, and then the deposit cap that was introduced. But interestingly, what's come out of that is, I think, a bit of a spin, really, is the rise of these no deposit insurance or replacement deposit products, which are springing up all over the place. And I've done a white paper, as you know, Paul, which I launched a few weeks ago. Got a huge amount of interest back on that. My concern is not about trying to be that stick in the mud, you know, head in the sand.
But what is the debate actually about?
The debate is about trying to make renting affordable for tenants. And one of the things, obviously, is the expense of the deposit at the beginning of the tenancy, which a tenant has to find, which in London can be anything up to £2,000-£2,500, and in the regions can be £1,000 to £1,200. And the market also, letting agents and landlords, or certainly letting agents, will be losing an income from the tenant fee ban, and they're looking for ways of replacing that income.
But the government have actually announced in the future, we don't know when, that they're saying that a landlord can only charge for up to 1 month's deposit, and the tenant can only will be paying, is it 1 week holding deposit?
That's exactly right. So that was in the Queen's speech, and that they're looking to introduce that sometime next year, where going forward now, because landlords were starting to take 6, even 2 months worth of equivalent deposit. Because the argument there is that if the tenant runs off with the last month's rent and there are dilapidations or damages, 1 month's deposit is not enough to cover their losses. And the market is now starting to, what I call, innovate. I haven't got a problem with innovation, actually, and that's what my white paper, Paul, is all about. Mm. What I have a problem with is the lack of transparency and the potential change in behaviour between the landlord and the tenant, which I think traditional deposits, and I welcome the cap, if you want the honesty. Mm. I think 1 month's equivalent cap is about right. But I am very nervous about the removal of the deposit and replacing it with either an insurance policy or a warranty bond type product, because I think it will change the behaviour.
I think, you know, compliance regulation is always fear. People tend to throw up their hands in horror about it. Mm. But when you look at it in more detail, regulated businesses, those who make a virtue of the regulation and work totally within the system, are always more profitable. Mm. They have less complaints, less litigation. Their costs actually begin to fall as a result. Mm. So, if anything, you know, instead of running away scared from it, welcome it. There's a lovely Indian saying which goes something along the lines of, you know, the system is like a cow, and to keep a cow healthy, you have to milk it every day. Mm. Or have soft hands.
Yeah.
Work within it. Make it work to your advantage.
Tony, I agree with you. My concern is that people are trying to change the system rather than work within it. And I know the tenancy deposit schemes, My Deposits included, have got a lot of work still to do in making sure that the release is quicker, that the systems are more slicker. But remember, at the tenant needs to have some skin in the game.
Absolutely.
If you remove that deposit from the system, the landlord there is literally got a piece of paper saying, ring an insurance company to get your money back, and I worry.
And there's the claims handling that
I worry about it. I'm not saying that they won't.
But they still would need adjudication, though, won't they?
They'll still all need some form of adjudication. Mm. But again, my worry there is that running an insurance company as well, in Hamilton Fraser,
yes.
I know the difference between claim handling, which is least cost route.
Yes.
So let's get the bit of paper, get the dispute off our books as quickly as possible, and formal adjudication, which the tenancy deposit schemes have worked for 10 years to get right.
Yes.
Where it's free to all parties, it's independent, it's not looked at on the value of the claim, but on the quality of dealing with that dispute. And I worry that that will be removed with these new products.
Having started my career as a loss adjuster, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest problems with insurance these days, general insurance, is everyone seems to have forgotten the first rule, act as if you were uninsured.
Yeah.
If you do that, claims actually.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point, Tony. If landlords out there are going to accept no deposits, don't expect to be paid anything when something goes wrong. And if you get something back, you've had a bonus.
Correct.
Okay, very good points, chaps. One thing that I picked up for the latest in the latest property news was users or consumers now wising up to the dangers of online rental fraud, which is, I've known this for a long, long time. At Landlord Action.
Yeah.
And
just very quickly before you say something, can I just congratulate Landlord Action, or congratulate Hamilton Fraser and Landlord Action. For those of you that have not listened to previous podcasts, Hamilton Fraser and Landlord Action have got together over the last couple of months, so we're now under the same group, and I think that is fantastic news for both companies and for the customer now, because we're much more of a one-stop shop.
You know.
And welcome to you, Paul, again.
Thank you, Eddie. All my staff have...
It's taken 10 years to get us together.
We got there in the end. We got there in the end.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. And it's really great news that Landlord Action is part of the Hamilton Fraser Group. And we've got big plans, haven't we, Eddie?
We have.
Watch this space. But as I was saying, with regard, and I've seen, obviously, all the scamming and it when everything goes wrong, and I do try and expose... some of the latest scams that happen in the TV series, really to try and wise up landlords and actually tenants as well. But
is this to do with the change in the data laws next year?
It may affect it a little bit, but there was the latest research that came from the house shop about where you're getting some fraudsters that are putting up false or fake adverts, classified adverts, with regard to renting out properties. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to scam, we call it fake landlords, they're trying to scam potential tenants out of holding deposits of some cases up to £1,000. Believe it or not, some tenants are actually parting with money even before actually going to visit a property. The shared economy has grown so much now, and because rents are so high, and tenants, and albeit foreign national tenants that are coming over to work, are so desperate to be housed in room lets that they're paying money over, even when they were abroad, not actually going to view the property. And actually Shelter have said that they've carried out a survey, and they reckon that over 250,000 renters have fallen victim of rental fraud scams over the last 5 years, with almost 50,000 alone in the last 12 months. And believe it or not, they think that bogus landlords are making a whopping £775 million
wow.
in rental scams. I'm not sure about that myself, but me being Mr. Cynical, but there is a lot of scamming that's going on. But they said the average cost per victim is £2,400.
And so presumably not disclosed to the tax man.
Certainly not. I mean, these are fraudsters. Mm. These are fraudsters that are... I got interviewed on a program on Inside Out where they were doing an investigation into fake landlords. So it's a case of tenants being wiser with regard to who their landlord is and stuff like that.
It's also a question of landlords being wiser. We see on a regular basis, you know, landlords being duped in rather dubious investments, particularly with some pretty dodgy developers in certain parts of the country.
Property investment scams.
It underlines something which was a big motivator behind the tax changes, which was get rid of accidental landlords and turn them into professional property businesses.
Okay, we're going to talk into that a bit more further when we're going to be talking about tax.
Thanks, Paul.
Today we have Tony Gimple, our special guest, to input his opinions. Tony has worked for Legal & General, American Express, Towergate, the Chancery Law Group, and Bowling & Co Solicitors, a leading 500 firm, in estate planning. And is subject of a Cranfield MBA. Oh, I think you sound very clever, Tony. On top of this, he is also the co-owner of Less Tax for Landlords, a specialist in estate planning consultancy that helps investment property owners build their portfolios. Tony, welcome.
Thank you.
I just want you to... I know from my experience of acting for landlords many, many years, a lot of the time landlords don't actually have a business plan or an exit strategy. But what was the reason why you set up Less Tax for Landlords?
I think the reason behind it was we'd looked at the market and seen that landlords were just not getting joined up congruent advice.
And what do you mean by that? What joined up?
So, well, they talk to their accountant, they talk to a lawyer perhaps, they talk to a financial advisor. None of those were talking to each other. None of them, you know, was actually assuming that, does this client really know what to ask? Because there's an assumption within the professions that if I go on to an accountant and say, can you do this? You know, they follow what I call the Nuremberg defense and just follow orders. Well, thank you for your instruction, we'll do it. How did you know what you should ask me in the first place? So we decided to bring together tax consultancy, accountancy, personal estate and business succession planning, and business planning and mentoring in one cohesive package on the assumption that the only thing you buy from us is that which we know and you don't. So to provide joined up advice.
So one-stop shop in that respect.
Yeah, and with one goal. And that goal is to help you, the landlord, achieve what it is you want for yourself.
And saving some money, of course.
Yeah.
Do you think... Tony, that the swathe of online websites is, and you just go online now and just get so much information. Yeah. Do you think that's helping or hindering?
It's both. It's both. You know, the web is a wonderful thing. Mm. However, just because it's on the web doesn't mean
it's right.
Yeah. And what you lose is context. And no doubt we'll be talking about limited companies. You know, the panacea to Section 24.
But set up a limited company.
It is apart from being the worst thing you could ever do.
So let's just, you stealth my thunder then, but that's fine, because that's what people want to hear about, and that's why we've got you in today. So Section 24, and
explain Section 24.
Explain Section 24. Explain what it's all about and how it's affecting landlords.
Okay. One of the cleverest political moves, actually, for a long time. Section 24 is effectively the removal of mortgage interest costs as an expense. Well, it's a capping. So up until the 5th of April this year, you could claim up to 40% relief if you were a 40% taxpayer. And by the time we get to 2021, the maximum relief you'll be able to claim on mortgage interest costs is 20%, or whatever the basic rate of tax happens to be. But that wasn't, you know, the be-all and end-all of it. You know, Gorgeous George said he wanted to get rid of the accidental landlord and professionalise the section.
Well, did more build to rent, didn't it?
More build to rent, which is a really, really good thing
yes,
to do.
Yes.
Yeah, so actually, politically and economically, it was an astute move. But what didn't get so much of publicity was the CGT side, capital gains tax, that, yeah, to reduce the rates of capital gains tax unless it had to do with property. So instead of just having, you know, a 10 and 18% rate, you have an 18 and 28%. Now, because the world and its mother thinks the way to get over Section 24 is to incorporate, what George Osborne actually did was open the door for a future chancellor to increase the rate of corporation tax
if you set up a limited company.
Yes, as a property company.
And let me ask this, because I want to break it down for the layman landlord out there, and that's the majority of landlords out there. So the majority of landlords have the 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 properties.
Yes.
Is, you know, there is a myth, oh, you know, you're a landlord, but, you know, switch it to a company and you're going to offset and you're going to be okay with tax. Tell us the downsides and actually what the implication with regard to costings is for landlords.
Okay. Well, let's come on to the tax side of it second. You can move your properties into a limited company. In itself, it's not an issue. However, because there is a change of legal title, you will have to remortgage.
And that, a lot of landlords don't realise that.
They don't realise that. Now, so you've got potential of early redemption penalties, you've got legal fees, brokers' fees, lenders' fees. A restricted panel of lenders. There are only about half a dozen lenders who will lend to a limited company.
Right. Stamp duty.
I'll come on to stamp duty in a sec, yeah. Okay. So you've got higher interest rates, 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% over. You've now got it on commercial terms, which means the loan is repayable on demand. If you exceed the loan to value treaty, so let's say you've got 75%, and property prices move against you, so it's now 80%, you've got to put the cash into the business to bring it back to the original agreed terms. Mm. What's worse is the lender can put a debenture, a charge on the balance sheet. So let's say when you went in, there was £100,000 cash on the balance sheet and £100,000 director's loan account. You can't use those without the lender's consent. So it undermines their security. Well, still, you get lender locking. Let's say that lender says, I don't want to be in this market. We're happy to keep your loan going, but we don't want to be in this market. You've now got to go to another lender. Trouble is, you can't have a second debenture, a second charge on the balance sheet. So for purely for mortgage purposes alone, the costs of doing it will outweigh any notional saving you'll make in Section 24. And if that wasn't bad enough, you've now got the tax situation. So, if, and come back to your point on stamp duty, assuming you can prove you're working 19 hours a week or more in the business, tenants and toilets, you can claim what's called Section 162 incorporation relief, which means you will not have to pay capital gains tax or stamp duty. If, however, you can't prove you're working 19 hours a week, you can pull the wool over HMRC's eyes and set up a temporary limited liability partnership, which after 2 years or so, you can wind up in favour of the limited company, at which point you've now got a remortgage, etc., etc. No stamp duty, but at that point, capital gains tax is held over, so it will be due at some future point.
So let me just interact there, Tony. So the majority of landlords, they've got four or five properties. Mm-hmm. Majority of those landlords most probably are working.
Yeah.
They could be paying a high base rate anywhere, 40%.
Yeah.
So really, this is not applicable for them. But there's still this myth in the market that they still need to do that.
Okay. If you're a basic rate taxpayer,
yeah,
and there is no danger of you becoming a higher or
from 20 to 40,
there really is no need to do anything.
Right, and that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Pointless. All you're going to do is spending money
on
a solution which is going to cost you money.
Yeah.
And let me illustrate that.
Yeah.
Because this is where you get into the tax. By the way, don't let the tax tail wag the planning dog. Frankly, I don't care how much tax I pay, because you don't want to pay that tax in the first place. Guess what?
Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to be miserable, it's better to be miserable and rich. Yeah. Trust me, I've been miserable and poor. And that,
but ideally in a hot country.
Oh, preferably in a hot country.
And have a boat as well.
We'll come on to the jokes about boat planes and other things. Yeah. So don't let the tax tail wag the planning dog. Let's say you decide, yes, I'm going to incorporate. Just as a way of getting over Section 24, which it will, a corporation will get you over Section 24, right. Absolutely, because all of your costs
are offset against the profits. Yeah.
However, limited companies are taxed in multiple ways. Corporation tax, 19%, but it could be 29% if the government introduces differential rates for investment property companies, which this will be. Income tax, at least 20%. National insurance, employees and employers at 13 point something, director's loan account tax, dividend tax, 7.5% rising if you're a higher rate taxpayer. If you sell an asset in the company, you've got to pay capital gains tax when you take it out personally. And if that wasn't bad enough, because you're now running an investment company, it's fully subject to 40% inheritance tax.
Tony,
yeah.
I'm feeling a bit depressed.
Same here.
Okay, cheer me up. What's the positive in all this? What should a landlord be doing?
Right. Well, what the landlord should be doing is making the decision that I want to run a professional property business.
Right.
So what does that mean? That 95% of businesses are 95% the same. You take a raw material or an intellectual property to which you add value and hopefully sell for more than the whole process costs you. So in this case, you know, running a property rental business is no different from running a tax consultancy, an insurance company, or a corner shop. Here the raw material is, you know, a fixed asset property, which you're making a turn on for the rent.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. I'm going to run it as a business, which means having a plan, deciding what it is I want for myself. You know, how much, of what, by when, by whom, and most importantly, why?
Yeah.
What's the driver? You know, tenants and toilets are hard work. Trust me, there are easier ways of earning a living than being a landlord.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it, I want to know why I'm doing it. Shoes, handbags, holidays, fancy watches, fancy cars, kids through school, immaterial, but have it. So how should you do it? Now, everyone's different. But the way that we find is the most effective and meets fully with HMRC practice guidelines and, most importantly, professional indemnity cover, is to have what we call a hybrid. So I have a portfolio. Let's just say it's got £1 million of equity for argument's sake and £100,000 a year of net income. I will continue to own those properties. No need to remortgage. No need to go down some, you know, what do they call them, beneficial company or beneficial interest company trusts, which effectively lenders do need to know about and will object to because there's a transfer. So I keep ownership of the property. But I give the equity and the income to a limited liability partnership, which I, my wife, my son say are the members, along with a limited company, which we are the owners of, called a corporate member. The great benefit of this is that HMRC recognise this now, instead of being as an investment company, as a trading company. And that has multiple benefits. By using that structure, you can effectively reduce your tax bill from your property income to basic rate, regardless of how much you are earning. You'd earn £300,000 a year from property and still only be a basic rate taxpayer. Why? Because the equity, £1 million of equity, which I transferred onto the balance sheet of my limited liability partnership on day one, I'm allowed to take that back without the
LLP,
without the payment of tax.
Right.
Because it's effectively a return of my own money, even though the money hasn't physically changed hands. And because this is now deemed as a trading business and all the value actually ends up in the shares of the company, trading businesses qualify for what's called business relief. In other words, they are not subject to the depredations of inheritance tax. Let's give an example. Let's take the East India Company. It has been successfully trading for 350 years and has never paid a penny in inheritance tax. The Duke of Westminster, bless him, one of the world's richest men. When the last one died, the new one inherited $9 billion. Zero tax, in part because of using structures such as this.
Okay, great advice, Tony. I've got a couple more questions before...
Is there a chance that a future chancellor could close that? Is it a loophole?
No, it's not a loophole.
It's not a loophole. It's because a lot of people might want to go down tax avoidance.
For the avoidance of doubt.
It's a bit like
This is not tax avoidance.
It's not, right.
Okay. And the purpose of doing this is not to save tax. It is to run a professional property business capable of being passed on to one's heirs intact. You get risk management, commercial freedom, the ability to reduce expenses, of which tax is one, and succession planning. Actually, tax is the smallest part. As a business, frankly, we don't care if we don't save you a penny in tax, immaterial. What we really care about is you achieving what you wanted to achieve in the first place. Yeah. Can it change? Of course. However, these arrangements are used throughout industry. All the big accountancy firms, all the solicitor firms, architects, surveyors, medical practices, all run these limited liability partnerships, limited company hybrids. In fact, what happened about 16, 20 years ago, HMRC wanted to force the professions in particular from stop being self-employed partnerships, which are opaque for tax purposes, into limited companies, which are totally transparent, as we've already said. Yeah. Mm. You know, when you file a set of accounts, it's in the public domain, so yeah. HMRC sees the whole thing. Well, at any given point in time, 60% of the House of Commons is lawyers and accountants. And that breed of turkey don't vote for Christmas, folks. So the chances of it changing, even if Corbyn gets himself elected, are pretty small, because there are so many businesses who run this way.
Okay. And Tony, how do you actually see the lettings landscape changing as a result of the tax changes?
The people should be running it as a business regardless of the tax changes. You know, it will force some people out of business. But the ones that will force out of business are those who are too highly geared, too little yield, who have relied on a property bubble.
But also don't want the aggravation of managing a property. We see a lot of landlords at Landlord Action saying, you know what, I've had enough. It's hard work.
Really, there are sometimes easier ways to earn a living.
Yeah, especially if you have
it's certainly for me, it's the planning bit, I think you mentioned earlier, Tony. Proper advice.
Yep.
I think this is my concern, is that too many landlords are trying to do everything themselves on information that, as I said earlier,
trying to save yourself a few quid.
Off the internet, or talking down the club or the pub about how it seems too easy.
Yeah.
But like all businesses, and we've got a successful businesses, Paul, and you have as well, Tony, it's not easy. You actually have to be quite dedicated to it. And also that 19-hour a week issue.
Being able to prove it.
In a limited company, wow, most landlords have got full-time jobs. And
but actually, if they had properties up north, if they were 6 hours to drive up north,
is that accountable? Is that part of your 19 hours?
And one of the big benefits of the hybrid structure is you don't have to worry about proving 19 hours.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying to claim the reliefs to go into a company.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. So where can we find you, Tony? Give us your website address and your Twitter and everything else.
LessTaxForLandlords.co.uk.
Says what it does on the tin.
Yeah, it absolutely does what it says on the tin, and all of our contact details will be there.
And you've kindly agreed to write a blog for our My Deposits for our landlords and given us some top tips, which will be really useful for the landlords of My Deposits.
And we'll produce a guide to owning and running a professional.
That'd be a great help. So before you go, we have our £1 million question. Tony, if we gave you £1 million, Eddie might give it to you because he's got a few quid.
Thanks, Paul. I'm not after buying Landlord Action.
In the property sector, where would you invest it?
Me?
And why?
I'd invest it in the northeast.
In the northeast.
You can buy a ready-to-go buy-to-let for somewhere between £50,000-£60,000 and get £110 a week regardless.
On a high yield?
Very. Yeah, but 10-14% yield.
Mm.
Do I care about capital growth? No, I've got no control over it.
Yeah.
Income, I can turn into capital.
Yeah.
And, you know, whilst I'm sitting on a beach somewhere, I want the cash register.
Yeah,
to
you
work.
Said this to me off-air, actually, Tony, that too many landlords are focused on capital growth, but they should be focused on income yield.
What do they say in business? You know, turnover madness, profit sanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And capital growth is a nonsense number because it's only worth anything when you want to sell the property. Yeah.
Correct.
All that time, what is it? So if you've got it and you want to remortgage it, and don't go above 70% if you can help it, 60% even better. Yield, 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 yield.
And is the property market overheating?
No. Apart from Iceland and the Galapagos, they've stopped making land.
Yeah. Yeah,
we on that land have not stopped making people. Our kids are living at home longer. You know, we're still a migrant nation. You know, people are coming here because it's the centre of the known universe and need places to work.
Yeah.
Demand exceeds supply.
Most definitely.
So, good thing to do.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. As of all advice that you receive, make sure you receive independent tax and legal advice before entering into any negotiations or transactions. August for us will be a relatively quiet period, and then it all starts again in September. We'll be attending a total of three events across the month of September. My Deposits will be attending both the landlord investment shows in East London and in Brighton. I think you're there, Tony,
yes,
as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
And Total Landlord Insurance will have a stand at the landlord investment show in Kent. I'll also be speaking at some of these events as well. Lastly, don't forget to keep your questions coming for the next instalment of Hashtag Ask Shamps. If you want me to answer your questions, then get to use the hashtag Ask Shamps or email them to me, askshamps@hamiltonfraser.co.uk. Chaps, thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Tony, we'll see you on the beach with a big fat cigar. And that's a wrap.
We should wrap that in.